You have your Bible. Why don't you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I do have a good word for you. Did we get our notes handed out? I had some notes. You know what? I think they're actually sitting on my desk. You don't need to run and get those. How about somebody fast, like, I don't know, Mark? Yeah, they're sitting on my desk, and this is terribly unorganized, but, you know. Hey, do you need my key? Here we go. Yeah, you're going to stand outside my office and panic. Well, what we've been on here for the last few weeks is we've been on a series called Supernatural. Everybody say Supernatural. I loved, as we began this series, we began really talking about you know, things pertaining to the demonic. We began talking about, you know, heavy issues, spiritual warfare, things like that. And man, began with in a great place. I love that kind of stuff. I love spiritual warfare. I love seeing the power of God prevail over the power of the enemy. And so just awesome. But as we've gone on, we talked about things, and you can find all this online. We've got a podcast, we've got a YouTube channel, all this you can find. Go on our website, you can find all these messages. Yeah, Mark's got it. We'll begin to hand these out. So you know, what we've done, though, we talked about werewolves, we've talked about vampires, we've talked about aliens, and then around the turn of the, you know, this, in coming into December, we made a shift. Leah was asking me, how are you going to turn the supernatural, you know, because we had, like, creepy graphics and all this kind of stuff when we were talking about demons and ghosts and all this, how are you going to turn this into a holiday thing? Well, this is it. So we've been talking last week about the supernatural gifts of God. We've been talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 weeks ago, we talked about angels and things like that. And so today, I want to talk about the gifts of God. Everybody say gifts of God. There's many different gifts and types of gifts, and this morning, we're just going to explore some of those. You know, every single one of you are gifted. Do you know this? Every single one of you possess gifts, and I'm going to help you guys begin. We're going to pray into some of these. I'm going to pray that God begin to reveal what his gifts are and what is, he wants to use every single one of us in a supernatural way. Do you believe that? Oh, I hope so. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. In fact, why don't you, now that we've got our notes, if you've got a Bible, why don't you stand to your feet? Well, you can stand if you don't have a Bible too. Stand and let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Chapter 12 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 4. Turn on your phone and turn it there if you need to. Says this: there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now, Lord, I just pray that your anointing would rest upon this message. God, I pray that you would work past even my cough and just any physical hindrances even right now, Lord, and that you would pour out your Spirit in might and power. Your word says it. Your strength is perfected in weakness, God. And Lord, I've been weak all this week, sick in body. But Lord, I just thank you that I'm here. I'm not about to miss a weekend service, Lord. And so I just pray that you would display your power, your might, your authority here today, Jesus. Lord, that you would touch and transform each and every life that is represented here. God, I pray that each and every one of us would walk with an awareness of the gifts, the talents, the abilities, Lord, the supernatural realm that you desire to move each and every one of us into, God. Oh, bless this day. Bless this people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may take a seat. So I want to talk about, many don't recognize this, but there are actually three different gift sets that you can read about in the Bible. Each of them are good. But I've outlined it there in your notes as the first three points that I've given you. The first gifts, I want to talk about the gifts of the Father. the gifts of the Father, or the operative gifts, O-P-E-R-A-T-I-V-E, operative gifts, the gifts of the Father. Did you know that the Father has gifts? I'll spoil the message for you. There's gifts of the Father, there's gifts of the Son, and then what most people know and what we especially hear in Pentecostal circles, we talk a lot about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so we're familiar with that, but did you know that the Father and the Son each have gifts as well? And we're going to look at this. I find it really interesting. The gifts of the Father. 1 Corinthians 12:6 says this: there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. He works what? All in who? In all. Now, this is going to trip some of you guys out, but these are gifts that everybody has. The gifts of the Father are gifts that everybody has, even unsaved people, okay? So you don't have to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You don't have to be operating in some supernatural realm to understand that there's a giftedness in your life. Let me read you a verse. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6 says this: having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, these are gifts of the Father. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. If ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So every single person, have you ever taken a gifts test? Anybody? You go through and you just kind of check, and at the end of it, you'll get like, you know, you're this much a servant and you're this much a giver and, you know, this gift is helps. I've never entirely understood helps, but actually I do. It's people that like to help, right? And so you think about, I heard somebody illustrate it this way and I've never forgotten this. You imagine some guy walks into a church. And it's a birthday. In fact, I heard that it's Jacob's daughter's birthday. What's that? Oh, yeah, Melina. And so, just imagine if we decided we are going to honor her birthday today. I didn't know, and so we're not going to. But imagine if out of the back room we had somebody come out with a cake. Wow. Beautiful cake, and they come walking across the room, and somebody, you know, as they're making their way up here, they trip and they drop the cake all over the stage. Now, what would happen is, now some of you, I heard people yelp. Maybe they weren't paying attention to my story. That was intentional. But what happens is, this is what happens. Immediately all across this room, different gifts are activated. What do I mean? You know, immediately there's some prophet who's sitting there. I knew that was going to happen. You have somebody who's just gripped with this gift of mercy. Oh, pastor. Oh, I just can't believe that just happened. Oh, somebody needs to go minister to his heart. Immediately, somebody who's administrative begins to think, okay, this is what we need to do. Somebody needs to go down and they need to get this cake and somebody needs, we need to figure this out. We need to make sure that the family is taken care of and we need to figure out somebody's going to come out here and clean up this mess that's right here and we need to make sure pastor's going to preach from the floor today because of the mess that's right there and you get somebody administrative. See, immediately all these gifts begin and somebody who's generous giver begins to step up. I'll buy the replacement cake. Don't even worry about it. Here, go take my debit card and run it to the store. And you guys see how this works? This is exactly the way that the gifts work in people. And you know what? Everybody possesses gifts like that. Everybody has. It wasn't something that when you got born again that, you know, the Spirit of God came. This is why. You ever meet somebody? Has nothing to do with Jesus. They're not even saved. They're not born again. They're not anything. But boy, you just talk to them and you feel encouraged. Like they know how to make you feel like $1 million. I wish, this is like Oprah. Oprah's a good example. I don't think Oprah's born again. I hope one day she will be. But Oprah is super encouraging. That's why people listen to her. That's why people like her. And you know what? There's just this encouraging. This encouraging, I'm not going to cough. There's this encouraging gift that goes there that just comes alive on the inside of her. And you just see that. You'll meet generous people who are giving, and they find fulfillment, and they feel like they're doing the right thing just by giving. Again, has nothing to do with the church. There's people that are atheists that are incredibly generous givers. There's people who are merciful and compassionate. I remember seeing this come alive even in my own family. I don't know why this is the story that comes to mind, but from a young age, my wife and I were eating fudge sticks last night in bed, okay? But there was one occasion that we had one of our friends was eating a fudgesicle, and they took the thing straight out of the wrapper directly into her mouth, and what happened is her lip got frozen to the fudgesicle. You ever seen this happen? And so she's trying to pull the fudgesicle away, and her lip is just stretching further and further with it. And eventually, it was painful. It ripped, and she had, it wasn't a terrible injury, but she had some blood coming out. And Mariah, I'll never forget this. Mariah was, she was probably 2. Yeah? I mean, she was young. And so she just begins looking at our friend. It was Kelsey who was here just about a month ago. Mariah begins looking at Kelsey and immediately begins crying because she's just so moved with compassion over seeing Kelsey weeping over this. And why? You know, Mariah wasn't at that time, she wasn't born again. She hadn't made any commitments to Jesus as she has since then. But it was just something that was naturally in her. Now, Gabriel, on the other hand, he didn't care what was going on. He was just doing his own thing. And where's my fudgesicle, And so you see different tendencies. Now, all that being said is these gifts, they come alive, and it's important for us to look at that. You can take a test. They're free online. You can do any of this kind of stuff and kind of find. But let me just say also, now, this isn't a cop-out. I don't need to love people because I don't have that gift of compassion. That doesn't work like that. Well, I don't need to give because I don't have that gift of giving. Doesn't work like that. There are people that are naturally inclined to operate in one or more of these gifts, but here's what that means. When you recognize those gifts, first of all, operate in those gift sets. The second thing is lead in those gift sets, okay? If you're just, man, I know how to give and I know what it does, and man, it's incredible, and you need to help. You need to be the guy who's sharing testimonies. You need to be the one who's encouraging other people how to operate in that kind of thing. Does that make sense? Okay, so here's the second one, because I'm really going to spend most of the time on the gifts of the Spirit this morning. But there's a second set of gifts here. Number two are the gifts of the Son, or the administrative gifts. The gifts of the Son, or the administrative gifts. Ephesians 4:11, you may know this by heart. It says that he himself, who is he himself? Jesus, okay. Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. He gave what? He gave who to be? He gave, oh yeah, I'm sorry, I might have worded that confusingly. He gave some to be. So I said, who has the gifts of the Father? Everybody does. Okay, you guys trekking with me this morning? You're with me now. Everybody has the gifts of the Father. Everybody does, even unbelievers. Believers, unbelievers alike have the gifts of the Father. The gifts of the Son are a little different. He gave some to be apostles. So not everybody has these. Even if you get born again, you don't necessarily need to pray into, okay, so am I an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher? Essentially, what this is talking about, and I've taught on this pretty extensively, but this is what we would call the fivefold ministry. These are the fivefold ministries of God. Okay, so you've got apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And what these guys essentially do, if you get a fivefold prophet, for example, a fivefold prophet is not just somebody who can prophesy. You might have a prophetic edge to you where God speaks to you. You have dreams. You can prophesy over individuals. But what makes you a fivefold in Ephesians 4:11 prophet is really not your ability to prophesy. What it is your ability to administrate prophecy or facilitate prophecy. When what I mean by that is, if you go hang around Cindy Jacobs, or it's amazing now, you see guys like Jim Critcher, who comes around for prophetic conference. You see individuals like Jim LaFoon, who's here for prophetic conference. You look at the entire Hammond family, and what? Outside of those three families, essentially, everybody else who shows up at that, well, not Candace Tracy, but everybody else who shows up at the prophetic conference are typically spiritual sons or daughters of one of those other guys, right? Bishop Hooks is a spiritual son of Prophet Critcher. And so, you know, why does that matter? Because these guys are fivefold prophets. How do I know that? They don't just operate in a prophetic gift themselves. What they're doing is equipping other people to operate in prophetic gifts. These guys, and if you continue through Ephesians 4, it says he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And so that's how you know. So if I've just got a prophetic gift, there's plenty of people who have prophetic gifts and they're running home churches of dozens of people. I mean, they've got five people in their church, and boy, they think they've got it all figured out, and they'll prophesy against the church and what everybody's doing wrong. And you know what? They might have an authentic prophetic gift, but boy, they don't know how to lead for nothing, and they certainly don't know how to equip anybody for anything. And so you watch these guys. It's the same thing with evangelists. You know, I have not always been evangelistic by nature, but what happened is I started hanging around some fivefold evangelists, and what happens is next thing I know, I've got this evangelistic edge. Like, man, I'm hearing these guys, and they're equipping me, and next thing you know, now I want to go after the lost. Does that make sense? And so I love the fivefold ministry. So we understand these roles, just to go through them. You know, an apostle will establish and build foundation, not necessarily a church planter, but what an apostle is unique in the fact that what they do is they have the ability, God will use them to raise up all of the other offices. An apostle will raise up a pastor, they'll raise up a teacher, they'll raise up a prophet. And so what begins to happen is, as an apostle is raising up all of these ministries, what is naturally produced is a church. I mean, what happens if we just take this section right here and I turn all of you guys into apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers? What begins to happen is, next thing you know, Pastor, we got to go start something. We got to go do something. And so, okay, well, you guys just go up to Napili. We'll start a new church up there. You prophesy the thing in. And, but that's essentially what happened. That's why so often people say apostles are church planters. Apostles aren't. Apostles are incredible disciple makers, multipliers. They multiply the gifts in people. Next thing you know, you've got fivefold ministers, and churches are naturally going to be produced. Does that make sense? Prophets speak the will of God. They encourage, they edify, they exhort. Sometimes, I know people think sometimes of prophets as exclusively telling of future events, and not necessarily. Prophets, I mean, I'm telling you, sometimes when you go to somebody and just encourage them, and man, you are just so awesome, man. You are just a boy, though, you know, your singing voice, you're just a, I love that shirt that you have. I mean, you know, I don't know what it is, but that can be such an encouragement to people. And that's prophetic. You understand? I mean, have you ever noticed some people just have weighty words? Like, you could have two people tell you the same thing, and from one person, it just, oh yeah, thanks. But from another person, it's just like, wow, thank you. So they might tell you the same exact thing. It's a gift. It's a gift thing. So let's see, evangelists, they're at the forefront. These are the people that are leading people to Jesus. Pastors, literally the word can translate to shepherd. These are guys who oversee a local church. And then you have teachers. Somebody, the way you'll know a bona fide fivefold teacher, somebody with a teaching gift is somebody that can take a complicated principle, they can take something that's confusing, and they can present it in a way that's very easy to understand. It's just like, oh, I get that now. And so that's what a teacher is. So let's go on to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Number three, the gifts, I just spoiled it, of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 11, you probably read this and know this. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a word of knowledge You're the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one in the same Spirit works all of these things, distributing to each one individually as he will. So we have wisdom, knowledge, discernment, healing, miracles, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and faith. I'll go through them. If you're going to, don't worry about filling in all your blanks. We'll get them. The Holy Spirit distributes each of them as he wills. Everyone, let's review for a second here. I'm going to mess with you, okay? I'm going to offend some of you in just a second, I know. Are you ready? Everybody has the gifts of the Father. Who has the gifts of the Father? Everybody does. So you look for it, pray about it, take a gifts test, whatever, exercise it, grow in the ones that you're weak in. Wonderful. Not everyone has the gifts of the Son. You know, he's given some to be apostles, prophets, and evangelists. So what will happen is God will appoint some. He will raise up some. You never need to ordain yourself as a pastor. I'm an apostle, and I know that I am. No, that's not how it works. What will happen is God will highlight you. You'll have somebody. We're blessed to sit under an apostolic leader like Dr. Morocco. And part of the apostolic gift, you know what part of the apostolic gift is? Is they'll recognize gifts and talents in other individuals. Guys, we're in a great place. If you're ever wondering, will anybody ever discover the gift that's on the end? Don't worry. You're in a great place to have that. We get prophets around here. I've got a measure of discernment. My wife does as well. And so God will appoint you and he'll raise you up. Now I'm going to say, this is the part that, so everybody's got gifts of the Father. Some have gifts of the Son these administrative gifts. But who do you think has the gifts of the Holy Spirit? This is where I'm going to jack with you a little bit. This is who has the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Nobody. Nobody has the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you how this works. So a few minutes ago, if you're joining on live stream, you're listening on podcast, I'm going to edit all of that, this ugly part out. But I was coughing and hacking and all this while I was trying to receive the offering. And so, graciously, I was given a cough drop, which I now have in my mouth. And it's helping me immensely. And so, you know, what happens, though, is I received this gift of a cough drop. And now I am using this gift and it's helping me, it's sustaining me, and when it's consumed, then it'll be gone, and I'll still be very thankful for the gift of this. But this is exactly how, for example, somebody needs healing. Maybe this happened during our healing time earlier. Somebody's got a physical need in their life. They come down to the altar. Somebody prays for them to receive healing. Now, let's say, for example, that that I pray for somebody. You know, they're right here, and I pray for them, and God heals them miraculously. Amazing. Who has the gift of the Holy Spirit? This gift of healing. Who has received it? Not me. I'm just shift your thinking a little bit. It's not me. It's the person who's been healed. They're the ones who have received the gift. This is where, guys, I know, you know, some people get you might get offended by this, but I thought I had the gift of healing. I thought I had the gift of this and that. Let me tell you, if you look at it throughout church history, you look at the guys like John G. Lake, like Smith Wigglesworth, you look at people like Maria Woodworth Eder, you look at people like Catherine Kuhlman, individuals that God used consistently in the realm of healing. I've even heard Benny Hinn say this kind of thing. All of these guys will say the same thing. I don't have a gift of healing. I don't have a gift of healing. But what they do is they're able to stir faith, and they're able to create and cultivate an atmosphere where the gifts of the Holy Spirit begin. It's what the Bible says, that the Holy Spirit distributes these gifts as he wills. And so what happens is you see somebody who's got cancer in their body. You see somebody in a wheelchair. You see something going on. And what happens is the will of the Holy Spirit says, I want to touch them. And you create an atmosphere that is conducive for the miracle of God to be released, and that's where you begin to see those gifts. Does that make sense? And so I'm telling you, if we can get our minds straight on this, I'm telling you, the guys that God uses most consistently, this is why I'm never going to go around and, boy, I've got some mighty gift of whatever. I'm telling you, that sort of arrogance and that sort of pride is actually a hindrance to the moving of the Holy Spirit. But if in humility we say, you know what, I don't have anything. But what I do have is the power of God, and He's here today, and by the grace of God, He may touch our lives. And so let's seek the Lord. Don't seek me. Don't seek my gift. Don't seek my hand. Let's seek the hand of the Holy Spirit and see how He might want to touch us today. Amen? And so let's talk about these gifts for a moment. Number one, we have the word of wisdom. I'll go through these quickly. We have the word of wisdom. This is God's revelation or His wisdom regarding a specific situation. So, you know, people, now I will say this. Let me pause, because some of you, like, I've messed with you saying that you don't have a gift that you thought you had, okay? And there are certainly individuals that are inclined to operate in a certain gift stream or something, okay? There are certainly, but they're not a possessor of that gift. Does that make sense? Okay, because there's a difference there. Now, guys, certainly you go to a Benny Hinn meeting, there's going to be people getting healed in a Benny Hinn meeting. It's just going to happen because that's the flow, that's the stream that he's running in, okay? And so that's the, you know, same thing. You come to the prophetic conference, man, people are going to get prophesied over. It's just going to happen. And, you know, there is this deal of prophesying in proportion to your faith. I'm not going to get sidetracked on that, but you access these things through faith. So there is a word of wisdom. Now, wisdom is one of these things that, listen, if you're going to counsel people, if you're going to mentor or disciple people, wisdom is an incredible gift that we need to see released. Jesus, we see it all, for example. Jesus was one guy who operated in all nine gifts. Matthew 22:17 tells us, this is the Pharisees talking to Jesus, tell us, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why do you test me, hypocrites? See, Jesus, he wasn't walking in that gift of mercy that day. But he was walking in the word of wisdom. And so he said, why do you test me, hypocrites? Verse 18, show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarii, and he said, whose image and inscription is this? So they said to him, Caesar. And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God's. Think about the woman caught in adultery. I mean, he writes in the sin. I believe that he wrote the sins. You know, there's debate on that, and it's not set in stone. But, you know, whatever he did neutralize that situation. These guys were ready to stone this woman for her sinful acts. Nobody was calling the guy, you know, it takes two to be an adultery, right? Nobody was calling him on the carpet, but here, Jesus neutralize the situation. He showed forth grace and mercy in this situation. And he did this all the time. People would come to him and they'd want to debate him. And I just love, we need to learn from Jesus like this. They would come with all kinds of debates and issues. And then how many of you ever noticed there's times where Jesus would respond and he's just like completely ignoring the question that they asked him. He said something that has nothing to do with the question that they just asked, but it's his wisdom. And he knew this gift would begin to come into operation and it would be released in these, and he would have the perfect response. You know, I love the case where they come to Jesus and they're like, you know, tell us, who did John the Baptist, or no, his rebuttal, he asked them, you know, let's talk about John the Baptist. He's like, is this guy and his baptism, is it from man or is it from God? And he would put them in these kinds of situations. Well, if we say that it was from man, everybody's going to say, you know, they love John the Baptist and they're going to hate us because they think that we don't believe that John the Baptist is an authentic prophet. But if we say that he's from God, then he's going to say, well, why don't we believe that Jesus is from God? And so he'd throw out these little things that would just absolutely confuse them, and they had no good response for. That's wisdom in operation. So pray for the gift of wisdom. It's incredible. Some of us, we need wisdom. And I really think there's wisdom in, listen, you want to begin to access the gift of wisdom, sometimes it is wise not to respond to every question that is asked. every criticism that is brought out. Jesus did that. You might feel like you're being disrespectful or something, but sometimes it is better to keep your mouth shut than to say something that you're going to regret later. Yeah? That's wisdom right there. If that doesn't make sense to you, just pray. Here's the step one in receiving wisdom. Just receive what I just said right there. Number two is the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge. This is where God gives you a knowledge outside of your natural understanding. I didn't describe that well. Knowledge that gives to you what you didn't have outside of God's knowledge. That makes sense? Essentially, it's like this. When the Lord speaks to you, where he gives you something that I don't know, I have no idea what's going on here, but this is what the Lord is speaking. And you give like detailed information. This is probably my favorite gift to watch in operation, especially in a corporate kind of setting. Like, you know, because this is where you get, who's the person that lives in a, you know, you live in a blue house and your grandma's homesick and, you know, and the person, oh yeah, that's me. You know, those, has anybody ever been in a service like that? Yeah, it's just fun kind of stuff. This is where you get the prophets that read your mail, right? It's just like, nobody knew that I had that written in my journal that's sitting on the third shelf in my office. You know, nobody knew that except for this guy and, you know, God, you know, and it's, those moments are so incredible. Guys, pray for this gift right here. Pray that God would use you. I really feel like this is one of the best access ways to get people saved is operating in the word of knowledge. When people see, because I've had times, especially early in my walk with the Lord, I had times where I would question, did that person really get healed in that meeting? Is this, I don't know if I'm the only heathen that's ever thought this thing, but it's like, you know, are these goosebumps God or is the music just getting me stirred up, you know? And I'd have these moments of doubt, okay? Forgive me if you think I'm a heathen because I've ever doubted the moving of God or doubted if this was really a miracle or doubted if God really intended for me to do this or that. But I'm telling you, one thing that has so cemented me is I think back to these times where somebody said something over my life that there is nobody that knew. Nobody knew it. Nobody knew that I'd been praying that. I mean, I've had people, there's two occasions that stick out to me. There was one, there was a pastor that was in Steve Hill's church. And this is, I mean, as much as I love Steve Hill, I didn't have a personal connection with him at this point in time. It was the second time we ever went to that church at all. And I'll never forget a guy, his name is Jeff Baldwin. He's a prophet, man. He came back and he met me in the back and he's, you know, he grabs me and he's like, you know, what's your name? And I tell him my name and he says, listen, he's like, God just spoke to me. He's like, you've been praying for this and you've been praying for this and you've been praying for this. And he listed three things that I had been praying for. And I wasn't even dating Leah at that point in time. He didn't know. I had a prayer. I can show you the gray journal that I've got. But I had my top three prayer requests that I had written verbatim, and he said them verbatim. Nobody knew what was written in that journal. Nobody knew. I hadn't even told accountability partners, prayer, you know, any pastors, any. Nobody knew what was written in that journal. But he spoke it verbatim. He's like, these three. And then he says, these two things. He's like, you're going to see them come to pass very quickly. But this third one, oh, you're going to pray for years before you see. But God's going to do it if you remain faithful. And I just, guys, I think back on that moment and I'm just like, God, there's no way. I can question miracles. I can question a goosebump. I can question whether this experience, but there is no way that that could have been fake. Nobody knew that that was there. Nobody knew that except for him and you. And I feel like that word of knowledge, that prophetic gift can really cement faith in so many situations. Pray for that. Pray that we would see that kind of thing break out here in this church often. Amen. John chapter 4, we see Jesus do this. He's operating in this gift when, here he's got this woman at the well. And, go get your husband. Well, I don't have a husband. Oh, yeah, you've got five, that whole thing. That was word of knowledge, right? And God gave specific details about. Imagine, I've always thought about this. It was right around the Passover, right? And they're getting ready, ultimately, to crucify Jesus. And he tells the disciples, I want you to go, and you're going to walk into the city, and you're going to see this building, and tied to the building is going to be this donkey. I want you to go get that donkey. Could you imagine like Jesus giving details like that? It's like, all right, let's go. And then you go, there's the building, but there's the donkey. There's the guy he said would be here. I wonder if he's got that room upstairs that he was talking about, Jesus would do that kind of stuff. Would be to God. Guys, this wasn't even a big deal. It wasn't like an earth-shattering miracle that needed to happen. Jesus just wanted to ride a donkey into town, right? Another occasion, they just wanted to have a place where they could share communion together, and God would give it. But man, wouldn't it be amazing? It's just like, imagine, let's plan our next luau like that. We'll start doing it during early morning prayer, and we'll just say, Sonia, you're going to go over to Ace Hardware, and there you're going to see this person, and they're going to offer you all of the wood and everything that we need to build our stage for this. Let's try it. All right. Anyway, number three, faith. It's a gift of faith. This gift gives supernatural faith to believe for something that the Lord intends to do, right? Peter, I believe we see this in when he walked on water, or in Acts chapter 3. There's many times you see this. Paul, remember when he was preaching and he perceived that there was faith for this man to be healed, a paralyzed man, and he says, rise straight on your feet, and the man, immediately jumps to his feet, completely healed. This is the gift of faith in operation. Guys, I'm telling you, all it takes is one person who's got this, who's operating, who's releasing this gift of faith. All it takes is one person to just completely shift the atmosphere. I've been in places, man. I've been in services where, I've even been in miracle services where we're praying, God, do something. And nothing seems to happen, but you get one person with faith. Man, God just did something for me. And all of a sudden, it ignites something throughout the entire room. It's incredible, this gift of faith. Now, I feel like the person that I know that operates in this gift of faith more than just about anybody, maybe anybody that I've ever met, is Dr. Morocco. If there's any one gift that this man operates in on an incredible level, is this gift of faith. You just hear him tell his story. Who believes for the millions of dollars? Who believes for 300 locations around the world? We would say it's insane, but it's faith. It is faith. There is a faith word that has been given that he grabs a hold of, and he's not going to let it go. And I'm telling you, faith, guys, it will absolutely change and transform an atmosphere. It'll open the door for all of the other gifts to break out. And so if you're inclined to operate in faith, listen, I want you to become my best friend. I don't know who you are, but it's just, we need some people that operate in faith. We need some people that operate in faith. I'm telling you, because you might hear a vision. You might hear what we desire to do here in this house. And yeah, one day we're going to buy this property and we're going to build this. And if you're just like, well, Pastor, here's all the reasons that this isn't going to work. This is a historic district, and I think somebody else owns that land over there. And have you seen? I don't know if our church can give that much. I will flat rebuke you if you come talking to me like that. But if you come to me and, Pastor, I believe it. Man, I was praying, and this is what the Lord began to show me. And listen, I want to give a faith seed into seeing that property purchased. And if you're like that, then seriously, let's become best friends, okay? Because we need people. It's the only way we're going to accomplish what the Lord intends for us to. So that's number four. Number four, we have gifts of healings. Gifts of healings. Now, I'm real particular about words, okay? And if you'll notice, in nearly every translation, it's not healing. It's gifts, plural, of healings, plural. There are, I mean, this can manifest itself in many different ways, okay? So you have individuals that like we've given a couple examples already. We've seen throughout history, we see a couple operating today that, man, God uses them. They tend to see miracles break out. People are getting healed when they pray for miracles, and that's a wonderful thing. And so that's part of this. There are individuals that minister healing on a spiritual level, right? There are, and man, I don't know. The devil just wipes these guys out. My two heroes in the realm of deliverance is a man of God named Dr. Carol Thompson. He was a mentor in my life. He was the one, if you've ever heard me teach on deliverance, most likely it came out of something this man taught me. The second was another man of God. His name was Jack Frost. And that's his real name. I'm not making that up. You can search him. He's got a bestseller book. It's called Experiencing the Father's Embrace. One of the best books on dealing with fatherlessness that I've ever read. But this man knew how to release a gift of healing, but not healing in the natural, not healing for your body, but I'm talking about healing for your soul. For example, I mean, this guy, I'll never forget, he came and he ministered at Christ for the Nations. And at that point in my life, I mean, most of my drug addiction, most of my pain and all of this for me personally was rooted in my fatherlessness. My father left when I was a young boy, never grew up with him, had a wonderful stepfather, but there was still a father wound on the inside of me that I grew up with, that I lived with, and I tried to fill with so many things throughout the years. I won't go into all that. But when Jack, it sounds funny, especially Christmas. It's really not a joke. His name is Jack Frost. But when he came and ministered, he ministered about that father's heart. And I mean, this guy had a story like you wouldn't believe. I mean, he was a sailor, the son of a sailor. I mean, his dad was there, but his dad was wildly abusive, physically, verbally. I mean, this guy had about the most horrible childhood and upbringing that I've ever heard of. But this guy was just a bundle of crazy love. I mean, you'd look at him and you could still see the sailor in him, right? I mean, he was still just like, I mean, he was like an Alaskan crab sailor. I mean, this guy's like hard, cold fisherman, okay? But man, God got a hold of him, and he would just ooze. I mean, he'd run up to people, and I won't do it to Larry, you know. But he'd like run up and sit on people's laps in the audience, and I mean, this guy would just love on you. Just it was just insane how he would do this. And but what he, I didn't want to. So we, but I'll never forget, man, he gets up and he's just ministering on this father heart of God, on this father heart of God. And this is what he wants to, I mean, he gets up on stage and he's like, you know, some of you never even had a father who would read you a bedtime story at night. And so he took out a child's book. I don't even remember what the book was. It wasn't even a Christian book. It wasn't a book of the Bible, but it was like a kid's book. And on stage, he's like, now listen, he's like, I want you to get comfortable right there in your seats, you know, just slouch down. Maybe you want to lay down on the floor, you know, whatever. And so, you know, hey, let's bring the lights down a little bit. And so they did it. So, you know, and he started reading a children's book. And I am telling you guys, if I've ever seen the gift of healing break out in a service, I'm telling, the Spirit of God came in such a unique, in such a powerful way. I mean, I was slouching there in my seat, just crying, you know, oh, daddy, you know, and all this. But I mean, you could hear people weeping all across the room. And I'm telling you, over reading a children's book, healing. I mean, my life was radically transformed. I had people lay hands on me. I had people pray the fire of God. I had people hug me, you know, and love me. And I had spiritual fathers. But I'm telling you, this sounds ridiculous. But the moment that God healed me was when Jack Frost read a kid's book to me in Bible college. I mean, it sounds ridiculous. Now, those are the kinds of signs that'll make you wonder right there. Yeah. So here, let's move on. Number five, the working of miracles. The working of miracles. This is something that happens that would not through natural means. You know, this, guys, I probably pray about this. Prophecy is what I pray about the most, for sure. I probably pray about this just as much. I want to see the working of miracles. You know what the working of miracles is? Stuff like walking on water, multiplying food, parting of seas. I mean, this is wild kind of stuff. Anybody want to see the working of miracles? I mean, I want to see, let's have healing services. Let's have prophetic services and conferences. Let's do all of this. Let's have some emotional healing kind of ministry. And let's have times where we counsel and we're releasing wisdom into people. I want to see all these gifts, but one thing that I feel like we don't hardly see operating much at all is the working of miracles. Where are people? The only one. I hear about Heidi Baker. She's had a couple occasions where they've multiplied food. You know, but you just don't hear about this kind of stuff. And guys, I want to see more. I want to see the working of miracles. And I'm not talking about Mary appeared on a piece of toast or anything like that. Yeah, whatever. You know, that's cool. But, I want to see, I don't know what, man, I want to see miracles. I want to see miracles. I'm not even talking about gold dust necessarily, anything like that. You know, I've talked about gold dust. If we get gold dust and jewels and stuff that start forming here, we're going to scrape that thing up and we're going to put it in our building fund, right? We'll buy a property with that. But, if it's got a purpose, wonderful. But that's not the kind of thing that I'm contending for. But you know what? If we could see miracles break out and we could see these things. Now, one thing that I do believe fits under this category, people have asked me before where they felt like deliverance or casting out demons would fall, and I feel like that falls under the working of miracles. And so if you're ever looking for where that falls in the nine gifts or anything, I feel like deliverance, casting out demons, falls under the working of miracles. They called it miracles often when Jesus would cast out demons. Number six is prophecy. We've already mentioned this. This is those who encourage, they exhort. Preaching is often called prophecy as well. It can be predictive in nature. Here's the verse. This is the only one you need to know in regards to prophecy. Prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you would prophesy. Pray every day that God would use you to prophesy. Pray every day for it, guys. I used to not have a lick of a prophetic anointing on my life at all. I could not prophesy one bit. I would even try and just do I just engage my imagination? How do I do this? And I just didn't know. But it was in one occasion I'd been praying every day during early morning prayer that God would give me this, he would use me in prophecy. We were at a youth conference of all things. I wasn't even a youth at the time, I was there as a leader, but they called all the leaders up on stage, and a prophet, Joel Stockstill, calls me and Leah out and just begins prophesying about her dreams and interpretation of dreams. And man, that's when her dream life came alive. And then he turns to me and he says, God's got a prophetic gift on the inside of you. He's activating, he's unlocking that gift on the inside of you right now. And I'm telling you, we went back home, and that very first Saturday night, I was laying hands on people in the altar, and I'll never forget the first time I felt a word drop in my heart for an individual. And just pray for it. God wants to give these gifts. He wants to give these gifts. Number seven is the discerning of spirits. The discerning of spirits. Again, this is plural. So God will give you the ability to see. This is in simple terms. He'll give you the ability to see. Is this God? Is this the devil? Or is this me? Right? He'll let you begin to see this. Leah operates very heavily in this gift. She can look, and I'll never forget, when we were dating, this was early on, but I was getting ready to go on a mission trip, and I'll never forget, she came to me and she's like, Jake, I want you to avoid that girl right there. And this cute girl. I didn't know if this was a jealous thing or what, And so, but I listened to her on that note, and I did it not because I felt like it was some strong discernment thing. I did it because I love her, and that's fine. I won't. I'd rather have you than anybody else, okay? So, and so I did. I moved on beyond that. And what happened, though, is she began to tell me, you know, that she didn't feel right. There's something off with that girl. There's something not right. We found out, not even just a couple months later, that a pastor that we knew, a high-level pastor, had been in an extramarital relationship with this girl. Nobody knew it. Nobody saw it, but Leah. God gave discernment to see this. And so as time went on, I mean, I've seen this play out exactly that same way, where Leah will tell me, watch out for this one. And sure enough, within a couple months, we see something exposed about this. And I don't know how it operates, but there's times where God just drops those things. And so now, where I used to question, where I used to, oh, yeah, okay, maybe it's this or that. No, now there's not a doubt in my mind. I know that God speaks to her. Every time he shows her something, I've seen it time after time after time, proven to be true. And so, you know, again, this is where you just recognize where people are kind of inclined to operate in these gifts. And so, you know, this is why I want to get faith people around me. This is why somebody needs healing. I'll pull on a guy like Emery. You know, God uses him in healing a lot. He's out this morning, but I, you know, it's just, it's amazing. There's value in seeing these gifts. So that's discernment. The other important thing about this is it's discerning of spirits. So I get leery. I get leery if I hear people, you know, I see a demon over there and I see a demon there and oh yeah, that person's got a demon spirit. And did you see that guy in the altar? They had a demon. And you know, it's just like, bro, okay, everybody's got demons. You know what my response is to that? You know, and I'm all about the demonic. You guys know. I mean, I believe everybody needs deliverance, but not everything's a demon. You understand the difference there? And so, you know, but my response to those kinds of things, you ever see angels? You ever discern the spirit of God? Because it's not the discerning of demonic spirits. He said that he would give the discerning of spirits. And that's discerning God's spirit. That's discerning angelic spirits. That's discerning demonic spirits. If all you're ever seeing is demons and you only see demons, boy, I might wonder if you're the one that needs deliverance. So, and we can all, the Bible says that we can all increase in discernment, that we all should increase in discernment. You know, how many understand you get in life and you begin to recognize, oh, that's God. Hey, that's flesh right there. We're not doing that. You know, and you get a little experience and you'll grow in that. Number eight, I'm coming to a close. Number eight is the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues. Now, this is an awesome gift. This is interesting. Sometime I'm going to do I'll do a full-on teaching. You know, there's actually seven different uses of tongues in Scripture. There's tongues in intercession. There's tongues in groanings. There's tongues for personal edification. There's tongues that are used to preach to others, individuals. There's tongues that are used when people are hearing a language. You know, you're speaking in your language, but they're hearing in their language. I can't recall all of them, but there's seven different uses of tongues all throughout Scripture. I think there's two of these that really apply on a corporate level, and this would be considered a gift. So when the Holy Spirit baptizes you, when you receive the infilling and in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what happens is very often God will activate what I refer to as is your prayer language, where you begin to pray in other tongues. And the function of that primarily is for you to take into the prayer closet. It's for you in your prayer times with the Lord, where you're praying, where you're seeking God. You pray in the Spirit, and the Bible says you edify your spirit by praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude talks about how you build up your faith. You build up your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost, right? And so we pray in the Holy Ghost. But how many know, you know, even 1 Corinthians 14, it talks about, if that's all we do, if that's all we do, people are going to think we're nuts, because it provides no functional application to anybody other than you. It creates an atmosphere of faith. It builds up your faith. And that's wonderful. It's necessary. We do it. I do it every day. We do it every day during early morning prayer. I'll encourage you guys. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I mean, that's how he concludes 1 Corinthians 14. You got guys that say, oh, no, we're not going to have any part of it. We're not going there. He says explicitly at the end of chapter 14, don't forbid speaking in tongues, right? Let this thing go. Let it operate. But there's an understanding that we need to come to. You understand there's a time you build up yourself, but then there's a gift application. Now, I haven't seen this happen a whole lot. We were in a church where it happened pretty frequently, actually, where God would drop and he would put a word in tongues. And there's a difference. It's not that 80 people are praying in tongues at the same time and it's just, you know, you get that. I actually love the sound. You know, you just get this choir of tongues that's going and just this atmosphere. It's these atmospheres where you begin to see miracles break out, right? But it's different. Anybody ever been in an atmosphere where you've had tongues and interpretation of tongues? It's different. God will drop this word and they begin to speak out in a tongue. And it's just like, it's elevated above everything else that's going on. And for that moment, everything in the room just kind of goes silent as this word in tongues is released. Anybody ever experience this? And so it's pretty neat. So this tongue goes, and then it's actually the last gift that we've got on our list is the interpretation of tongues. So what happens is you'll have this combination where a word in tongues is given, and then following shortly thereafter is an interpretation of tongues. Now, if the Spirit of God moves in that way, and there is a word in tongues that is given, I will wait for the interpretation of that tongue to come forth. Because usually it's some kind of, it's what 1 Corinthians 14, you can read 1 Corinthians 14, it details it very clearly. But 1 Corinthians, it talks about how, you know, if there is an interpretation, then it edifies the entire congregation. It edifies the entire. If one person just prays in tongues, I mean, we could ask Minister Sam to come up here and just pray in tongues, and we're just going to watch you for a little bit. And you know what that's going to do for us? Nothing. It's not going to do squat for the whole body of us. In fact, there's going to be people in this place that think, what kind of church is this? And what's going on with that guy? You know, but if there is a word in tongues that's given and then there comes an interpretation, wow, man, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Yeah, I do feel like that's what God is doing in this moment, in this time right now. So that's tongues and that's interpretation of tongues. Does that make sense? Amen. Well, this is what I want to do. If I could, Colleen, could you come and just hop up on the piano here for a moment? I want to pray. I want to pray for each and every one of us. We've got a couple minutes here. I don't want to take a real long time in this, but praise God I got through the sermon without having a coughing fit. You guys know I have never missed a service because of sickness. I've never, even though, I mean, I'll probably get done with this service, I'll go back home and I'll start coughing again. Prayerfully, I don't know why I even said that. I shouldn't. That's not faith right there. Somebody with the gift of faith needs to come and rebuke me, right? So, but here's my point in this. I have been sick as a dog before and after preaching a service, but I've never struggled to get through a sermon because I've had a cough or anything like that. It's a grace of God. It's a grace of God. So, thank you, Jesus, for getting me through the message today. He's good. He cares about stuff like that. This is what I want to do this morning. I want to pray. I want to pray for us that if you want God to use you, you might have, you know, I just want to see the gifts of the Spirit just break out in us, through us, and among us. So could you stand to your feet right now and We're going to pray a couple different ways. We're just going to ask. We're going to ask Holy Spirit to fill us afresh. You know, the Bible says, it's a verse that we began with, that the Holy Spirit distributes gifts as He wills. As He wills. You guys want to know? Oh, pay attention to this. If you've ever wanted to see miracles or prophecy or the gifts of the Spirit in general released through your life or your ministry, here is the greatest thing that you'll ever learn how to do. Be sensitive to what the will of the Holy Spirit is. It's really simple. Be sensitive to what Holy Spirit wills to do. Holy Spirit, what do you want to do in this moment right now? What do you desire to do right now? Because I could say, hey, we're going to pray for everybody that needs to be healed. But if Holy Spirit's saying, no, I want to prophesy over some people over here. You know what? It's a lot easier. And I've seen where God is gracious and he's patient. And even if you get somebody hard-headed, this is where we're going. You know, sometimes God will, well, okay, fine. You know, be obedient to his word and faithful to his word and that. But boy, it's a lot easier when you go with the flow of what Holy Spirit wants to do. So I just want to pray that God would help us. God would help us to be discerning to what the will and the intention of the Holy Spirit is. I just want you to lift your hands all across this room right now. We're just going to begin to welcome. Just begin to welcome the Holy Spirit. In fact, I want to do what I spoke about a moment ago. I just want you to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And let's just begin to welcome the Holy Spirit right now. Let's begin to set that atmosphere that Holy Spirit loves to abide in. Oh, we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we wait for you. What do you desire to do today, Lord? What do you desire? How do you want to touch us today, Jesus? Oh, Lord. Holy Spirit, just begin to activate. Just begin to activate. Stir faith in this place. Oh, exhort your people today in Jesus' name. Lord, begin to activate. Activate the gifts of your Spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus, all across this room. Lord, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of faith, Lord. Healings, Lord Jesus. Discernment, Lord. Tongues and interpretation. Oh God, begin to release prophecy all across this room. Lord, the working of miracles, Lord, I pray that you would begin to release the gifts of your Spirit all across this room, all across this people. Begin to activate things on the inside of us. Holy Lord, even as we have our hands lifted, Lord Jesus, I pray, oh God, from heaven you would touch us. Even right now, Lord, let your Holy Spirit begin to fall upon your sons and daughters in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, begin to touch your people. Touch your people. Oh, in Jesus' name. Move by your might. Move by your power. Mighty God. Mighty God. Holy Lord, Holy Lord. Are you hungry this morning, church? Are you hungry this morning, church? You're saying, Lord, I want you to use me. I want you to use me. Lord, in spite of all my junk, in spite of all my failures, I want you to use me, Lord. I want you to use me, Jesus. Lord, I want you to use me. Guys, that's not a selfish prayer. That's not a self-seeking prayer to say, God, I want you. If you suffered for it, Jesus, if you sent your Holy Spirit, we don't want to ignore your Holy Spirit. We want to be sensitive to the will of your Spirit, and we want to release it everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. Holy Lord. Holy Lord. Holy Lord. Hey, if you're a Filipino, or if you're involved in the Filipino service right now, I just want you to lift your hand straight to heaven. I want to know who I'm. Okay. This is something that the Lord put in my heart several months ago. When I talk about the working of miracles, I believe that our Filipino service is going to be an outlet through which God releases miracles, the working of miracles. I just want you, even right now, just lift up your hands and let's pray. Let's pray. Hey, it could happen even as you're going caroling on Monday, okay? This could happen. God wants to do this kind of unusual miracles. Lord, I pray every man, woman, and child that has their hands lifted, Lord Jesus, these who are involved in our Filipino congregation, God, I pray that you would activate miracles on the inside of them in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, let them see unusual miracles. Lord, let them see truly signs and wonders, God. Not just run of the mill. Not just, oh, yeah, I think this happened. No, Lord, release tangible miracles in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, pour out your Spirit on our Filipino service. Pour out your Spirit, Lord Jesus. Oh, God. On our different ethnic ministries, Lord, begin to release miracle working power in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, God, even a minister role Owen and Linda, Lord Jesus, you would move them into a new realm of sensitivity, Lord, discerning. Hey, this is what Holy Spirit wants to do. This is where he wants to go. And Lord, to release, I pray you put that authority on this man and woman of God, Lord, that as they see and as they discern what you desire to do, Lord, with the releasing of a word, they're going to begin to see it break out throughout their service and their congregation. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You know what? If you lead a ministry, let me share something with you. This is, guys, if you'll hang with me, we could really break into something powerful here over these next couple minutes, okay? If you're in a hurry and you just say, well, I'm ready for lunch, that's fine. You can leave, okay? But this is important. I want to be sensitive to what Holy Spirit wants to do in this moment. Let me teach you something very quickly. I'll never forget John Kilpatrick. The morning, he shared years later what happened on that morning in Brownsville. When the Spirit of God began to move, what he saw come into the room, he said he saw like two orbs that were floating up in the balcony. Nothing was happening in the congregation yet. Nothing was being poured out. Nothing was really transpiring. But he said, Lord, do whatever you want to do. And there was, when he released, God is all about structure and God is about order. And there was something about him as the head of that ministry in that house that when he gave that word, Holy Spirit, just began to move in power, just began to pour out all across us. And I'm telling you, whether you're leading a service, whether you're leading a life group, whether you're leading a ministry in this church, you're gonna have these moments. And as you are there, the Lord is literally looking, and we need to pray that God would give us a sensitivity in these moments. God, I don't wanna miss it. What if Holy Spirit's just hanging out here and he's just waiting? Okay, Holy Spirit, you just do what you wanna do. And we just give him that moment to release what he wants to release. I want to pray. I want to pray that we would be sensitive to the will of the Holy Spirit, especially for you leaders in this place. But listen, even if you're leading in your home, if you're leading your sons and daughters, this applies to you. Let's be sensitive to the will of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I do pray. I pray the same thing that happened with John Kilpatrick on that day. Lord, as he saw, Lord, your Spirit hovering and just waiting to be given permission to move and to minister, Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, give us a sensitivity. Let us see, let us discern, God, what your Spirit is speaking in this day, in this hour, Lord Jesus, over our ministries, over our homes, Lord Jesus, over the services, God, that we preside, over our life groups, God, whatever it might be, I pray, give us sharp discernment. Don't let us miss when your Holy Spirit desires to do something. Mighty God, mighty God. Well, this is the last thing that we're gonna pray about. I want every head bow, every eye closed. Some of you here, you hear me talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but I'm gonna talk next week primarily about the greatest gift that's been given, and that's Jesus. And some of you here, you know, you're not even in the place. It's like miracles sound cool, healing sounds cool, prophecy sounds, but you're still in a place you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And what I want to do is I want to pray for you this morning. With every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. If you're here today and you fall into one of two categories, I'm going to pray for you. Number one, you say, you know what, Pastor Jacob, I'm not sure that I know Jesus. I'm not sure if I've ever known him, if I've ever made him the Lord of my life. I'm not positive that if I died today or if Jesus were to return, I'm not sure that I would make it into heaven. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Number two, maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I once walked very close to Jesus. I knew him. He was my Lord, my Savior. But man, I've sin had its way in my life. I got hurt. I've fallen away. Something's happened. I've drifted away and I'm not where I should be with God anymore. But today I want to come home. Today I want to get right with Jesus. I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that I'm right with him. And so if either of those are you, either number one, maybe you've never been right with God, or you're not even sure if you've been right with God, but you want to today, that's the first. Or then the second one is you once walked close with Jesus, but you're not where you're supposed to be with him. You got some stuff that you need to deal with. Today's the day. If either one of those things are you, nobody's looking around. If that's you and you say, Pastor, will you pray for me? I want you to lift up your hand so I know who I'm talking to. Yeah, I see that. I see you in the back there. God bless you. I see you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to pray with me. Everybody pray with me right now. Pray, dear Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. I have sinned. Wash me, Jesus. Cleanse me. Forgive me and make me brand new. I thank you that you shed your blood so I could be forgiven. I believe that you died for me and that you rose again. And in the same way, one day I will be raised up and we'll meet you in heaven. Jesus, be my Savior, be my Lord, and my very best friend. Come live your life through me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, church, this is what I want you to do. As you go out this week, I want you to be sensitive to what Holy Spirit might be directing you to do, to say. This is key to activating the miraculous. I feel like so often we just go along and Holy Spirit's tugging on us and we're busy doing our own thing and we miss it. Let's not miss it this week. Let's not miss it this week. I'm going to pray a last blessing on you. Don't forget Thursday. We've got that missionary who's going to come with us from Israel. It's going to be an awesome time. Filipino is going to meet here at 6 tomorrow. Youth party on Friday is a great. It really is the most wonderful time of the year, isn't it? I love it. I love it. So let's just pray. In fact, why don't you join hands with somebody next to you? Some of you old and already holding hands. That's wonderful. Why don't you join hands? And let's just pray that the Holy Spirit would use them this week. Next Sunday is going to be a big one. We're going to have all of our specials and all of our gift giveaways. So make sure you guys get here for that. And bring somebody, you know. Well, Lord, I just thank you. Pray for that person on your right and on your left as well. Jesus, I just thank you. I thank you for your spirit that's in our midst. I thank you, God, that you meet us, you move, you touch us. And Lord, I just pray that even now as we hold hands, as we lay hands on our neighbor, God, I pray that you would use each and every one of us in Jesus' name, that you would use us for your purpose and for your glory. God, activate the gifts on the inside of us. Let us be sensitive to the will, the leading and direction of your Holy Spirit. Don't let us miss it, God. I just pray your blessing and your power would move upon our lives. Lord, bless us and sustain us, God, as we go about this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, church. Loved worshiping with you this morning. We'll see you next week.